Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Kings of Queen City podcast. And we are back after a rough week one. Did not really go the way any of us thought it would. And we're just going to start it off like, well, the Bengals dropped to 0-1, if you didn't see somehow. 23-20 against the Steelers. They had a chance to win it at the end multiple times and came up pretty much a long snapper short. And I kind of wanted to start off, what is your guys' panic meter at? Scott, Jake, how are you guys feeling right after this? Is the panic meter high, low? Where you at? Give me a 1 through 5.
I think mine's maybe a 0.
Okay.
I'm not panicked at all. Honestly, I know that during the game, me and Eli was making a big deal about it. But, like, you could tell they looked rusty and that not having actual game snaps really hurts a lot. And I don't buy a lot into the preseason, honestly. Like, I don't think getting one, you know, set of plays with them all together actually changed the course of the game, but it did look rusty. They looked a lot better in the second half, but maybe if the defense looked really bad too, I would be a little worried. But honestly, other than the offense in the second half, though, they kind of looked like last year's team.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say my panic meter would be like a 1. I'm not super panicked, but I definitely think there are some things about that game that raise serious flags. It's weird because, like, to be completely honest, the Bengals didn't deserve to be within about 30 points of that game. Like, versus other teams, or, like, versus what we would consider, like, the teams we'd have to go through in the playoffs and stuff, like, that game's over in the first half because it's 28-0. So, offense was bad. Defense played well. I'm not necessarily, like, the long snapper, the problem was in overtime. The extra point wasn't on the long snapper. That was on just we didn't really block it. And we let, you know, the guy that was terrorizing us all game and one of the best safeties in football just walk up the middle of the line and block a PAT. I mean, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. I mean, you're going to have games like that. Kind of reminded me of, like, the Bears game last year, the Packers game last year. It just felt wonky. But, like, I'm not overly concerned about it. But, if you see some stuff like this continue to happen, then yeah, I think I would start to get a little panicked about some of the aspects.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think I am likely I feel like I'm a little higher than you guys, but not much. I think I'm at, like, a 1.5. 1.5 to 2. I definitely agree with Jake. I think if the defense had looked worse, I totally would be more worried. But the defense looked great most of the game. The only way they knew, Jake and I talked about this during the game, that they knew they would have to run some trick stuff to beat us. They knew they could not just line up and run a normal game plan. They ran a lot of reverses, a lot of trick plays, which, I mean, credit to them. They did their game plan exactly the way they wanted to. If you wrote a script of how the Steelers were going to be able to beat the Bengals, they did it. And they forced turnovers. They didn't turn over the ball. And that's kind of how they had to beat the Bengals, and they did it. So got to give them kudos. To me, the only main concern was just Joe Burrow being a little rough. But even to that, I'm not super concerned. I listened to him on Cowherd today, and he said his game plan going into this preseason was going to be to play at least a series or two just to try to get his feet under him, which I think is a good thing. I don't think it's this thing where everybody's hammering the rust of players or whatever. I don't love that because you're a player in preseason away from an ACL to being, oh, no one should have played. So you're going to have people on both sides of the spectrum. I think it's going to happen. You've seen a lot of teams be this way. They're rusty at the beginning. So for the long term, not worried at all. Definitely just kind of sucks seeing Joe Burrow start off in such a shaky spot.
Another thing I think we talked about after the game too was, you know, Pittsburgh beat the Bills last year.
Yep.
In week one. Like, week one is just a giant crapshoot. Like at the end of the season, you know, looking at Monday night's game, like, do we really think Denver is going to lose to Seattle? Like, probably not. Like, week one, you just really never know, like, what's going to happen. You know, they've had weeks to prepare, like, more time. I'm really just not worried about it at all. And they should have won that game. It's probably the worst game they've played in the last two seasons. Well, no, probably since the COVID season. So, and to still have a chance to win it, like, I still feel good. Even though that's one of the worst teams in probably the AFC. I still think it says a lot. They put themselves in a position to win it, even playing that bad.
Yeah. This is a loss that can... I mean, it's only week one, so, you know, there's only, like, you can only go up. But this is a loss that definitely can come back and kind of bite us in the ass. I mean, it's not just an AFC loss. It's a divisional loss. And just kind of thinking about it, it almost feels like, from the Steelers' sense, this is kind of like the Ryan Finley game we had, like, just flipped. You know, no one was really giving them tons of a chance, and the other team played pretty much horrendously. Like, they didn't do what they were that what they needed to do. They gave you plenty of chances to get a lead, and then, you know, great team. Like, when the Ryan Finley game, we were god awful, but the Steelers kind of let us get a lead, and then, you know, we let them hang around, and they had plenty of chances to kind of finish it off, and they just couldn't. Like, it just kind of felt like that to me. So, like, I'm not overly worried, but it's not a good loss. The divisional loss is extra tough, especially coming week one. Like, it's just it's more concerning the fact that this was the Steelers. Like, if this exact game we played that exact week one and it was versus, let's say, the Vikings, like it was last year, like, I don't think it's as big a deal, but. Like, we can be okay. Like, we're still super talented. Just, you can't turn the ball over five times. I read something that, like, the last team to win an NFL game with a -5 turnover differential, it's happened, like, once since 2000. It happened in, like, 2002, and that's it. So, it's nice we had a chance, but you can't win football games playing like that.
Yep, I completely agree. Let's kind of dive a little bit into the more of the Steelers game. Kind of something I hit on. Are you guys concerned at all about Joe Burrow? I mean, I know probably the answer. Just kind of want to hear your guys talk about it a little bit and give your rationale.
I mean, he really, the first half was, I mean, it was his worst half by far. Like, it honestly, that, like, the first few picks, like, were definitely timing issues. Like, he threw the duck on the pick six. Like, that wasn't close. That, like, it looked like the game felt a little, like, fast for him. Like, he wasn't really prepared for it. And, I mean, not in the sense that, like, you know, he wasn't going over, like, you know, film, everything like that. Like, the game just might have sped up on him, especially, you know, he missed a lot of time with that appendix. And so he's a little bit behind. And I'm not worried at all. He made some really good throws towards the end. Like, he looked athletic, you know, breaking the pocket. And honestly, like, at the end of the day, he's healthy. Even though he had the 7 sacks, he's healthy. So, I'm not worried at all about him.
I mean, so I remember sitting here last year after the Bears game, and I was, like, my whole thing was, and I still, like, I had confidence in Joe Burrow after that, but I was like, this is where, you know, if he stacks up a couple more of those type of games, you have to seriously kind of take a look at the situation and, you know, is he a guy? And then look what he does. Like, after week 7 or whatever, I mean, he put up MVP level season. So he started bad last year too. Like, he was leading the NFL in interceptions until probably close to the bye, if I remember correctly. It was definitely, he was in the upper echelon and leading first part of the season. So, like, I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. That was his worst NFL game by a wide margin. That was worse than probably any of the games he ever played at LSU. Like, he wasn't very good. A lot of the Steelers sat too high, and Tomlin basically said, "Okay, like, if you want to beat us, you're going to have to be Joey Checkdown today." And you know, that's not really what this Bengals offense was last year. So They made him want to do that, and then we did in the second half, and it got better. The first intercept, or the pick six, I mean, it was a ball that shouldn't have been thrown, but it was kind of behind too. And Minka's a great player. I mean, he's going to make that play. And then he threw another ball into, like, triple coverage on Boyd. But those were two bad picks. TJ Watt makes a hell of a play because he's a freak. And then I don't even remember the fourth one off the top of my head, but like, I'm not worried about him, but yet, like, Joe, if Joe Burrow's the quarterback, we all think he is. And most people think he is, these games are going to be few and far between. So,
yeah, I would definitely agree. I don't think it's going to, we're going to see games like this very often. I think it's just week one rust, pretty much entirely new offensive line. T. Higgins going down definitely is a big factor in this game. And, I mean, kind of the thing that more concerned probably than Burrow is just the wide receiver depth of just pure receivers, because see guys like Mike Thomas, Trent Taylor, those guys are pretty much on the squad for special teams purposes. So that does kind of alarm me when you see a guy like T. go down, and then you look and TB's kind of a slot guy, so you're really going to have Michael Thomas as your outside guy, which I personally don't love, so that kind of sucks. But I really do think that Burrow's going to bounce back good. And, I mean, this game against the Cowboys definitely has some challenges, but I think it's a good spot for them to bounce back. So let's kind of flip sides of the ball here. Let's talk about the defense, because I would say that's who played the best, even though I'm not sure if they got a sack.
They did.
Do you guys know if they did off top of
that? They technically got one, and it was when Mitch Trubisky ran out for like a two-yard loss. Like, they didn't sack him. He ran out of bounds.
Yeah. So that's definitely not ideal going up against probably one of the weaker offensive lines they'll face all season. But kind of what were your guys' takeaway from the defensive side of the ball?
Just to kind of like, I'm not worried about the sack issue either. I think they were by far the quickest team in terms of like snapped pass. They really just didn't give them a chance. And, you know, with all the sweeps and all the trick plays and everything, like, you know, there were times where they were really close. But there was also never a time where Pittsburgh had to, you know, really drop back and prove they had to throw. And so I'm not really worried about it. DJ Reader had a huge game. I've been on Twitter and looking through it, and like, he plays a very like unsexy position. And he, you know, you look back at some of the plays he's making, like the one where he's basically on the ground and just sheds the blocker, like his knees completely on the ground.
It was incredible.
Throws him. Yeah. Like plays like that. He's just an insane, insane player. And, you know, the linebackers, they just looked really fast, like faster than last year's team. The depth is really good. I mean, they have some linebackers, you know, I think a lot of their linebackers could, you know, be starting pieces on other teams. Like, you know, we didn't even see Akeem Davis Gaither much during the game. Like Marcus Bailey, who played a big role down the stretch, played three snaps. Dax Hill played six.
Yeah.
I mean, that defense is freakishly deep, and it's only going to get better as guys come back and, you know, barring injury. But still, I thought there were a lot of great things. Eli Apple, didn't hear much from him. I think that's kind of what we said last week. Like, as long as he doesn't do anything that loses you the game, then you're cool with it. And he, you know, didn't do anything bad, so we'll take it. We were just missing the Pickens fight, which I'm actually really upset with.
There's still a whole nother ball game we play those guys, so that could still be.
Wait, hold on. Is he still pick him after?
He's still pick him.
He'll be fine.
He's got Mitch as his QB. Yeah. What do we expect?
He'll have a big year. He got the Eli Apple treatment. It happens.
Yeah, he got shut down.
Hold on, I was wrong. Pick
one,
him.
One catch, 4 yards.
One reception, 3 yards.
Quick before Scott talks, I did want to hit on some of the PFF grades that I looked at. Eli Apple, 19th out of 95 cornerbacks. Mike Hilton, 13th out of 95 cornerbacks. So pretty good. And then what you mentioned about linebackers, Logan Wilson ranked as the third of 77 linebackers with an 86.7. And Jermaine Pratt was 13 of 77 at 73. And then last one is DJ Reader, like you said, Jake, the least sexy guy in football, unless you love smash mouth football. I think he still is the most underrated player in the NFL. I'll die on that hill. 8th out of 123. And I mean, at this point, the Bengals have held Najee Harris to, I think, less than 120 yards in all three combined games they've had against him, which is just incredible. Scott.
Yeah. I mean, I think Najee had 11 carries, 23 yards off the top of my head. But yeah, I mean, I think Najee's a very good player. I think the Bengals run defense is is legit. I mean, the Bengals defense looked great, but like I kind of take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. I mean, the Bengals ran 100 plays on offense. Defense really wasn't out there a ton. You know, there really wasn't. Offense put them into some bad spots, but like, I don't know. Like, I think I want to see them go up against what I view of more of a better offense to kind of get a real judge of it. That might not be for a couple weeks, but.
So you're thinking week four?
You guys know what I think about Tua, so
it's not even week four.
I mean, no, the Dolphins will definitely be a huge step up, but I'm a Tua. Wait.
The Jets have an elite quarterback.
They do.
I mean, is Mike White playing? I'm not on the Joe Flacco's elite train. So
hold on, what is Mike White doing these days?
I'm not sure if he's in the league.
He's the backup on the Jets.
Are you sure?
They're just playing Joe Flacco over him.
I don't mean to get off track here, but like that'll be a nightmare if he starts that game somehow.
I think it's gonna happen. But yeah, I mean the defense was good. Like they played as well as you wanted to see from them. There's a couple plays. I mean, when your offense is playing that bad, you need the defense to keep you in it, and they did. It would have been nice if they could have, you know, put points on the board like the Steelers did, or get a turnover or something. They had one. I really thought they should have had a turnover. Trey Hendrickson was chasing down Trubisky, and he chopped at the ball, and Trubisky like just has the hand strength of, I don't even know, but it just somehow stayed in his mitt. And you know, tip your cap. That's a great play. But yeah, defense looked good, but like. I'm not going to anoint them, you know, the best defense in the NFL after 1 week, but I was very pleased with what I saw overall from the defense.
Yeah, I definitely agree with everything you guys hit on. You guys kind of took all the words out of my mouth. So last thing we're going to hit on for this game, before we move over to the Cowboys game, is just, I'm not sure if any of us knew long snappers were this important. As you probably already know if you're listening to the podcast, Clark Harris likely out for the season with a bicep tear. Is that what it was? Yeah. Okay, so bicep tear. So we're not going to see him. And for sake of not butchering his name, I'm just going to call him Cal, our backup long snapper that's on the practice squad. He got activated Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like as soon as they could.
Yeah, so pretty much, I mean, the reason you obviously, Scott alluded to it before, the blocked PAT, not really on the long snapper. It makes you kind of wonder, though, with everything else going askew, did he snap it before they were set or something? Or was Drew Sample really just not ready at all for that rep? Or who knows? But then you see the two high snaps in a row that probably mess up Evan's rhythm. That's the only explanation I have for it. Those aren't field goals that Evan McPherson misses. So when it comes down to milliseconds, you hear a lot of guys talk about that really mattering. Like you see the laces out thing, which obviously makes a little more sense because you're kicking the ball in a different spot, but those snaps matter when you're seeing the ball come in at a weird angle. I mean, the last one is the only thing that I really harp on because I do think that Kevin should have killed it. I don't think he should have. When he saw that snap, and I mean, is that on Kevin or is that on Zach? To me, I think if you're already going into that having a shaky, you know your long snapper's out, you've already seen one get missed because of a bad snap. Do you really go into that without attempting to move the ball a little bit better? But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, it's just kind of wild to me how much a long snapper impacted the end of this game.
Yeah. I it's one of those things too where like it's such almost like a niche position. Like it's so like uncommon. Like you're not on the field all that much. You don't think about like the long snapper getting hurt. And then it happens and you're just kind of like, wait, what do we do now? And that's not necessarily what it felt like, because I'm sure that, you know, Wilcox knew he's the backup long snapper. But one of the things that I had noticed is I don't think Pittsburgh had given that look on any extra points or PATs, because unlike, you know, some of the ones earlier, like there was no one on the left side. So I don't know if Sample just like completely missed, like didn't realize, picked the wrong guy. But truly the kicking game at the end, did you guys see the lady that was just puking all over herself?
Yeah, I did.
Did you guys didn't see that of the lady in the stands just puking on herself? at the Bengals game?
I didn't.
It's such a great video. So, yeah.
That's great.
So just to give you, paint you a picture here, Eli, it's this like mildly trailer trash looking lady that has definitely had a few too many beers. And she's like literally just like puking like in front of her. But the best part, and I think that no one's talking about, is the guy in front of her is in like a neck brace and like can't look or like look back to see what's going on. So it's like the perfect puke on yourself spot. Like you're gonna puke on yourself, like no one can really see you do it. So it's disgusting. But anyways, you gotta watch it. But yes, the kicking and special teams at the end, that video is kind of how I feel.
Yeah, I mean that whole game, you know, that's just kind of what it was. But I don't know. The long snapper is obviously like it's a big deal, but the extra point, I don't think it has any effect on the game. I mean, and also like it's Drew Sample, but he's kind of given two guys to block, and I'm not gonna like just blame him necessarily because I'm not sure, you know, scheme they're trying to run and if he's supposed to have both or whatever. But I mean, it's one of those guys, like when you're playing Madden, like when you're playing the Steelers, you got to know where JJ Watt or TJ Watt is. You got to know where Cam Edward is. You got to know where Minka is at all. Like it's Minka Fitzpatrick. Put your hands on him. It's like if there's a guy that's going to make a play, it's him. So that was unfortunate. The overtime thing, like, yeah, the laces are in. It was a high snap. The way we all talk about Evan, it's when it's a 29-yarder and he might have missed by more than the length was, that's not great. So I also, in general, like, we're on a backup long snapper. Why the hell are we settling for, you know, a field goal? Like, I get it, but also, like, I don't know. It's first down. You ran the ball and got nothing. And then second down, we run a little sling out to Drew Sample. Then we decide to kick. Like, I definitely wanted to see the offense try to score. I mean, I'm not saying get risky and I get Burrow at a lot of picks, but I mean, pound the rock. See if we can get some yards or do something. So I wasn't thrilled with that. And then the mistake I don't think anyone's talking about that people should be talking about are twice in that game Burrow took awful sacks on third down. One was he takes a sack in like the first quarter and Evan McPherson bails him out with the longest kick in Bengals history that kind of got overshadowed. And then the second in overtime where P. Ryan picks up the ball. You can't advance a fumble. Like, that's a rule. I mean, I knew it was a rule. I don't think it is meant for that setting, but, like, that's the rule. I don't have a huge complaint with that. But, I mean, that's what you're going to get with Burrow. He holds on the ball. Like, he's looking downfield to make plays. Like, you got to take the good with the bad sometimes. But, I mean, you can't do it in that situation. You just can't because, I mean, we had the punt and then the Steelers end up winning the game at the buzzer. But, I mean, like, even if it's a long kick and we don't have a long snapper, I'd rather take a chance to try and win it than, you know, put the white flag up and concede best case, we're hoping for a tie. So, I don't know. Like, that game was just so wonky, though, too. I'm trying to take everything, you know, with a grain of salt from that game because, like, it was like the Packers game last year. Like, you're there, and it just felt weird. Like, everything – it felt like a weird game. So, I don't think you can take tons from it.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think we've beat the horse dead with the Steelers game. I think it's going to be one of those games we look at the end of the year and be like, how did you lose this game? Mm-hmm. I feel like it's going to be like a Jets game last year, so – let's kind of move on from that. Let's turn the page. Let's look ahead for this weekend. The Dallas Cowboys 425 game, which I always hate seeing the Bengals play at 425. That's just a me thing. Biggest news, obviously, Dak Prescott will not be playing the game. He broke his hand. He's going to have surgery. I think he already had surgery. They said it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks, but I don't think they're placing him on IR, which is super weird. But that's Jerry Jones for you. But, But yeah, so I think the Bengals will be playing Cooper Rush is going to be their starter. And just starting on the offense side of the ball against them, they do have some weapons. I like CeeDee Lamb. I think Tony Pollard should be their starter by the end of the season. I think he will be. But besides that, and obviously Zach Martin is a perennial Hall of Famer, but besides that, this offense is not as daunting as we've seen in years past.
Yeah, and I mean, without Dak, that Cooper Rush, he was really, really, really bad. Watching that Sunday night game, I mean, maybe they kind of scare me. I think their offense right now is without, like, Dak is almost comparable to a Pittsburgh type of offense, like some weapons. I mean, my biggest worry is, like, do you take the Pittsburgh blueprint and just, you know, like, run reverse, play the two high, pray to God that the Bengals, for some odd reason, decide to run the ball every single time from under center and beat themselves, in a sense, from a schematical standpoint. You know, I don't know what to think about this game. Like, obviously, I'm worried about Micah Parsons, and, you know, you never know. Like, you know, Diggs, you know, you can say he's bad, blah, 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 like, he's in the right place at the right time somehow getting picks like that. I think it'll just be an interesting game. I mean, it'll be really interesting to see, like, as long as they clean up the mistakes, that's really all I want. Like, you know, don't turn the ball over. I think the defense should have, you know, a relatively easy time. Like, I would like to see them get some sacks this week, too, if they're given opportunities. And I think those opportunities present themselves as long as the offense gets themselves out on a good start.
Yeah, I mean, this is the NFL. There's no free wins. Like, they're not just going to hand it to you. You got to go earn it. But, and I like some of the pieces on the Cowboys, but I don't think they're not a team that the Bengals should struggle with if they're playing, you know, good football. But on the other hand, too, it's like the pessimistic side of me will come out. Like, I can't tell you the last time the Bengals beat a backup quarterback. Like, I can name multiple that I'll even be an asshole. Like, Mitch Trubisky just beat us. I don't, like...
They beat Huntley last year.
It wasn't even Huntley. It was Josh Johnson. You're right. I do remember
that. Whatever.
I do remember that now. Thank you. But, yeah, it's just like I don't...
He's not the backup.
Yeah, I just...
He was, though.
He was the third...
Because Mike White was technically the starter.
Yeah, technically. But like, he's the backup. Yeah, and like I just...
Yeah, so same
thing. One of those weird things, like the Bengals tend to struggle with them, but I don't know. What I want to see out of this game is just treat it as a get-right game. I mean, I want to see the O-line look better, even though I don't think it was as bad as people think. I want to see the O-line get a push. I want to see Joe Mixon have a good game. I want to run the ball. I want to be smart. I'm not saying run like a Browns type system or anything where, like, you know, with Brissett where they're trying to hide a quarterback. That's not what we need to do. We have Joe Burrow. But, like, I don't want to see Burrow pass 50 times. I don't want to see him pass 40 times. I want to see us have a balanced offense that is moving the ball efficiently and putting points on the board. And then I'm excited, and hopefully we'll see it from this game, is I'm excited to see what this defense looks like with a lead, because I do think that's a huge part of the sack thing. It's really hard to get sacks it's easier to get sacks when you're winning in a game and you know the other team's in, like, pure passing sets, and you can kind of just – you can tell a Trey Hendrickson to pin your ears back and go get the quarterback. So I'm excited to see that, but it's one of those games I just want to – I want to see just a solid game from the Bengals. I want to get that taste out of my mouth from last week. I just want to see us play normal football and look good. And, I mean, come away with a win. Just doesn't have to be the most beautiful thing, but just come away with a win and don't do whatever the hell we watched last week.
Yeah, I couldn't have said that better. And then when you kind of look at the defense side of the ball, which is going to be, I would assume, the Cowboys' thought and chance of beating the Bengals, because I really don't think you're going to get it done with Cooper Rush, kind of like we mentioned. So, I mean, you look at their defense, and they've got some players. I mean, you obviously have Micah Parsons, who's probably one of the better, probably a top five defender in the league at this point. And then you have Trayvon Diggs, who, love him or hate him, he's a ball player. He makes plays, good or bad. He gives up big plays or he makes big plays, one or the other. So you just kind of hope you have to beat him in that sense. But I do think they helped him out this year. They got him some safeties to help over the top. I mean, they had a pretty good defensive game against the Buccaneers, if I'm being completely honest. I didn't think they got beat a ton. And then, I mean, Leighton Vander Esch isn't a bad linebacker at all. I think he normally ranks pretty high in PFF. But what do you guys think about the defensive weapons of the Cowboys?
I mean, they definitely have some pieces. I mean, like, you look at it, like, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence is not a bad player.
I didn't even mention him.
I mean, they've got some – I think they're very top-heavy. Like, they've got the big names, and then they've got some guys that are like, oh, like, you know, not bad. Like, just looking now, like, Malik Hooker, I mean, not, like, super flashy safety. I mean, they have some pieces in their secondary, you know, as well as guys on the defense. I don't know. It'll just be like an I think it's a weird, interesting matchup. I really just think that a lot of the defense, like a lot of the Cowboys defensive play or no, excuse me, like a lot of the Bengals offensive play is just going to be coming like, you know, early. Like, did they set the tone early? You know, the Bengals are a weird team. Like, sometimes when they're behind, like, they kind of lay down and, like, it just looks bad, or they just turn it on. Like, I really just – I can't get a good feel for this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cowboys have – their defense is fine. They have some serious weapons out there. But on the other hand, I mean, maybe I'm a little off, but, like, I think we all agree the Bengals offense is upper echelon in the NFL. So, I mean, are we really – like, Diggs can make plays. Michael Parsons is awesome. But, like, if that's enough to stop the Bengals' offense, then I think we're in serious trouble. So, also, Diggs had a rough day at the office when he went up against Jamar in college. So, and, I mean, not saying that translates tons, but I like Jamar's matchup there, at least within reason. So, again, though, like, especially with the Cowboys offense and the kind of the question marks there. Like, I just want to see the offense. Let's have efficient drives. Let's get the ball moving, you know? I don't like I already said this once. I don't want to see Burrow pass it 40 times. Like, it's not a recipe for success always to just be five wide constantly. You know, let's get the running game going. Let's make life easier. Let's run some play action. Let's throw a pass under center. Call me crazy. Let's run the ball a little more in shotgun. Let's see Chris Evans hit the field. Like, there's tons of things I want to see, but, like, yeah, it's hard to get a great read on this game, but, I mean, I don't even think it has to look great. Just, this is, you just show up and play football and win the game. Like, that we're fully capable of doing that. Just, let's play offense, let's clean up some of the turnovers, clean up the mistakes, and let's just go play.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So let's do two more things for Gadifer. First, we will do a key player for the game. Who do you guys think is going to make the biggest impact, whether it's for the Cowboys, whether it's for us? Give me that, and then after that, we'll do score prediction to end it off. So, Jake, start us off with a key player for the game, whether it's on the Cowboys or us.
I have been back and forth on whether going – usually I like to get creative with mine. I'm going with the easy answer. It's Joe Burrow. You know, is he bouncing back? Is he coming back to being the guy that we saw at the end of last season? I think he's the key to winning this game. You know, in past weeks, everybody could say, like, yeah, the quarterback is the key to winning the game. But in this scenario, like, you want to see that he's back to being that guy that, you know, the first half of last week was just a fluke. You know, if he does play, you know, like he did last week, then they could be in trouble. So.
Yeah, I'm going to give one of each team. Cowboys, like, I think the simple answer is Cooper Rush. Like, can he play well enough to keep you in a game? Like, can he give the Cowboys what they need from him to where he has a clean day, he's not turning the ball over, he's not giving up easy points to – or giving good spots to the Bengals offense? You know, I mean, pretty much like – can he do what Mitch did last week? Just have a clean day. You don't have to go be a world beater, but don't give the other team anything easy. And then for the Bengals, I got more of a funky one. I'll say Lael Collins. He's going up against his former team. I think Micah Parsons will rush on him a good amount. He likes to rush, and that, you know, that matchup happened constantly at Cowboys practice, I'm sure. So, and he had some reps that were not exactly what you wanted to see versus Steelers, but TJ Watt's a guy that can do that to just about anyone in this league. So can he, you know, just be what we need him to be? Be tough, and again, I think he's going to be up against Micah Parsons most of the game. So if he can hold his own and kind of, you know, make Micah Parsons not crazy noticeable, I feel really good about the offense getting clicking.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I'll hit with two as well. I think the key of the game for the Cowboys is Micah Parsons. Can he play that TJ Watt role and disrupt the whole game, disrupt the whole flow? Can he force a pick? Can he force Joe Burrow to make other interceptions, not just get his own? And I think Micah Parsons is that kind of player. I think he can do that. I think it's going to be a team effort on the offensive line to make sure that doesn't happen if the Bengals want to win. But he's the kind of guy who can wreck a game. He can wreck your offensive game plan and make everything kind of stop from there. On the offensive side of the ball, really shocked Scott didn't pick his boy Hayden Hurst.
But I wanted to.
I think I'm going to say for the Bengals, I think the key to the game is I think it's going to be Ja'Marr Chase. I think it kind of goes hand in hand with what Jake said. I think if Joe Burrow has that bounce back week, I think it's obviously going to be majorly to Ja'Marr Chase, just because I'm not sure how likely T is to be back by this week. I haven't read a ton on him this week, but I think Jamar's going to be that guy. I mean, he had 10 receptions. I think not a lot of us expected that sort of target share, but obviously with T going out, obviously bumps him up a little bit more. But he was looking for Ja'Marr early and often, especially at the end of the game when it came to that last second case scenario. He was feeding the ball, and I think they're going to do similar stuff this week. I think he's going to find his guy and make it work. Jake, give us a Cowboys player, since we both did and you didn't.
Ooh, just for the sake of picking, I went one very obvious one. I'm going to go with another one. I'm going to go with DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah.
You know, last week, you know, Highsmith had a really good game. Like, their defensive line was really good. And, you know, sometimes in games, like, sometimes it's not the guy you think it's going to be. Like, everybody wants to say Parsons. Like, I would not be shocked if, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence is having a good game. You know, I think stopping their pass rush will be really nice to see too, especially after last week. Like, they're not going to rust off. Like, you could tell as the game went on, they're starting to figure it out. Another week of practice, I think it'll be good to see. But yeah, I think stopping him will make us feel a little bit comfortable if they make it a one person type of pass rush.
100%. So let's end it off with some score predictions here. Jake and Scott, give me your score predictions for the Bengals at Cowboys. How do you guys see this game playing out?
Okay, so I've been looking at lines as we've been talking.
Heavy favorites.
Yeah, they're 7.5-point favorites. But, you know, just looking around the league, like, I was looking at, you know, the Jets and Browns, which, you know, kind of abysmal offenses. You know, their over-under is 40. You know, looking at the Lions and Commanders have a 48. The Bengals are at 41.5, I believe, for over-under. So I'm going to say that Vegas is thinking that it's going to be the Cowboys that aren't scoring anything. And I'm going to say the under hits, but it's going to be 28-7 with a cover.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Jake. Kind of stole a couple of my points. I mean, so, like,
we've got two sharps on the pod.
Ooh, I wouldn't call myself that. But, like, I don't know. I think this is a game. Show up, take care of business. Something like 27-10. Like, I don't really think the Cowboys should be putting up two touchdowns. I think if our defense is what we saw, what we kind of expect, they're not putting up two touchdowns. And the offense, I'm just going to say 27. I don't need to see – I'd love to see a huge number, but like I don't need to see it. You don't need a huge number this week to beat the Cowboys. Be smart with the ball, run the ball, you know, just you know, have a balanced offense. Like, just show up, play good football, and I think you come away with a win. But yeah, I'll say something like 27-10. Kind of a beat.
Yeah, I love it. I love way it. Late. So that is going to be it. Do you guys have anything else you guys want to hit on?
Wait, what's yours?
I'm not in the prediction game. I don't bet on the Bengals.
I don't bet on the Bengals. I refuse to bet on the Bengals.
I would say I
will not touch the Bengals. I feel like it's bad juju.
I think Cooper Rush showed us that he is not a starting caliber NFL quarterback last year. And I think this is a get-right game for everybody involved, Evan McPherson, Joe Burrow, everybody who needs it. I see this game being 6-31. I think the defense comes to play. I think if they do, I would find it hard to believe that Cooper Rush is really going to lead them to the end zone many times. I don't think the offensive line is nearly good enough to let Tony Pollard and Zeke cook. So I'm going to say 31-6. Let's get kind of crazy with it.
Mitch Wilcox touchdown.
Drew Sample first touchdown scorer. I'm betting it till it hits.
That might be a while.
I think that's going to be it for this one, guys. Yeah, I might be betting that. I might go bankrupt. But I think that's going to be it for this one, guys. We hope you guys enjoyed. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. Follow us each individually. We're trying to be more active. And then also follow our account on Twitter, Kings of Queen City, and follow our TikTok. We're going to be way more active on all of those. And that's going to be it. We're going to try to do two episodes next week, try to do one post-game, kind of recap, and then a pre-game one, and try to give you a little more individualized episode. So we hope you guys enjoyed, and until next time, hoo day.